When talking about the Suns' win over the Houston Rockets last night, another one of those games where they had a huge, huge lead and then had to fight and scratch and claw for everything in the fourth quarter before they finally pulled away.
As gamblers,
yeah,
can you bet while a game's going on?
Oh, like sure, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because so, that's the easiest win in town. Suns get up by 20, bet the other team.
Yeah. I mean, they usually come out with like a halftime spread.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
a spread
yeah.
for the second half. Oh, yeah, it's
that's the one right there.
Yeah, you kind of go and you sort of double down. What you know, so if you're thinking the Suns aren't going to be able to continue their big, you know, their big lead at halftime, then yeah, you go bet the Rockets in the second half and you try to make most of your money. But the fourth quarter of that game last night, DeAndre Ayton was 4 for 4. Everybody else on the Phoenix Suns 4 of 18. Combined. Now, that's throwing some guys under the bus a little bit because Devin Booker was fine in that fourth quarter. Saric made his one and only shot. Cam Johnson made his one and only shot. But in that game, when things were getting dicey, there was, if I remember right, a 10-2 run, and DeAndre Ayton accounted for 8 of those 10 points. He was the guy last night in the fourth quarter, and I'm sure that had to feel good for him, and it had to feel good for them because he came through in that moment when they needed him to.
Yeah.
To make sure they secured that win.
Yeah, it was. He took a pass from McHale, scored, made it 114-103. Took a pass from Chris Paul, and then used that new spin move, that little spinorama, whatever.
Did you call him a ballerina today?
I don't think I did. I might have been a previous one.
I believe in your email.
Did I call him a ballerina?
I think you might have called him a ballerina. And I don't think you didn't mean it in a bad way. I just think you...
I don't think that I said that in my email today.
Yesterday you did.
Oh, was it yesterday?
See?
Yes.
Liar!
DA with a spin move on Len 6858 looked like a ballerina.
Okay, yesterday.
So yesterday, okay.
This spin move. Have you guys noticed this new spin move?
I have noticed the spin
he
move.
He likes it.
And
Mike,
the tutu.
He likes
it's
it.
Crazy.
There is a Suns fan who's wearing a tutu, though. Have you noticed that
Oh,
person?
yes.
I saw the Suns fan with the tutu, but it was not DeAndre Ayton, though he was spinning like a ballerina.
It was a great spin move. He likes it. And then he had the dunk on a great pass from Book, and he got fouled. He missed some free throws down the stretch.
He did.
Missed 3 of them. Even the tomahawk dunk from Paul was great. Yeah, he took over the game. And sometimes when your three's not rolling, that's your op. That should be your number one option. Give the ball to him, please. When you know if the threes aren't going, give the ball to that guy and let him get some easy baskets because his field goal percentage is high and is, you know, his shots have a much higher rate of going in than threes do.
Well, there's no doubt. It's just a question of trusting him to catch the ball. I mean, that's part of the issue.
He's been very good at it. I haven't had any complaints the last couple of weeks with him.
I mean, a season's worth of evidence kind of makes you a little leery maybe to trust him in those moments to pass him the ball, knowing that he's going to catch it and not fumble it away.
Well,
knowing
isn't
that he's
not winning his teammates over? They seem to be giving him the ball a lot
situations. I'm just saying that it's not like this automatic thing. You just got to give it to DeAndre Ayton no matter what because he's got to earn that to a certain extent, proving his ability to be able to handle the ball down low, which has been a struggle for him for a big chunk of the season. Not lately, but it's been a struggle for him lately, or it's been a struggle for him earlier in the season. These comments, though, that he gave to Dwayne Rankin. Well, it looked like it was a one-on-one. Dwayne is the beat writer who covers the Suns for AZ Central. We don't have the audio for him, so it sounds like he got some sort of a one-on-one with DeAndre Ayton. Quote, I know what type of player I am, but it's about what my team needs. It's not about me. It's about what my team needs, and it's about what I need to get better at to help my team win, close quote. These are really my brothers, and this is the first time I've ever been a part of a winning legacy. These are the most wins I've ever had. It's a lot behind these wins. It's not just winning games. We're really building something here that can be everlasting. But then he said, quote, when the playoffs come, it's mano a mano. We're going to have to see everything. They think they've seen the dude that just rebounds and be a presence, but I'm way more than that.
Wow. Okay, so his confidence right now is through the roof. His confidence is through the roof. He's feeling like he can do anything. If I need to go for 30 in a playoff game, I'll go for 30. If they're trapping, you know, Book and Paul and those guys are getting double teamed, then you know what? I'll destroy them. So listen, I like that, right? That's not a passive guy. That's an aggressive guy. That's not passive. That's him saying, look, mano a mano, man, when it comes to the playoffs, I'm capable of doing anything.
That's him talking aggressive. There's a difference between actions and words,
but I think
right?
we've seen the actions over the last couple of weeks here.
You keep saying over the last couple of weeks, but I mean, there's a whole season's worth of evidence from DeAndre Ayton where he hasn't been the most aggressive guy all season long, right?
It needed to click, and they needed to figure it out. But I mean, we could say that he's turned a corner. We might be able to say he's turned a corner here.
That's the key word. We might be able to say he's turned the corner.
How many more games do you need? I mean, this is like the Madison.
How many games left do they have this season? How many games do they have left this season? 19? Yeah. I'd like to see 19 more games of him playing like this before I say he's because we've had these moments with him before.
But I've gone 2 weeks now without seeing a DeAndre
totally
Ayton complaint on Twitter. That's pretty good.
Totally agree. It's just a question of when do you want to say this is who he is? Like, are you 100% convinced this is it? Finished product. This is who he is. You have no more doubts about DeAndre Ayton's
finished product?
I'm asking.
No, he's 22 years old.
Okay, well,
he's not going to be a finished product next year or the year after or the year after.
Okay,
there's a lot to go.
There is, but I mean, you're talking about total trust, give him the ball all the time, let him take over a game. I mean, do you honestly believe at this stage in his career that's who he is for this team and that's who he needs to be?
I think in a game, he's capable of that.
Okay.
Not a series.
Okay.
But a game, if Booker's not shooting well, if Paul's not having it, I think he's capable of carrying them in a game.
Okay.
I think that he could carry them in the series? No, you got to rely on Booker and Paul. That's your two best players.
Then you and I have very common ground on this.
Okay. He can carry them in a game.
I agree with that. Yes.
If those guys are off or they're not playing well or somebody gets in foul trouble, I do believe he's got the ability to carry them offensively.
And that's kind of the point I'm trying to make. I have not seen enough, and it doesn't sound like you have either, to believe that I believe Devin Booker could carry them in a series. I believe Chris Paul could carry them in a series if he had to. I don't know if DeAndre Ayton's there yet. I'm not going to say he's there after 2 weeks of good games as opposed to, and when you ask me how much more do I need to see, I'm not really joking. I'd like to see 19 more games of DeAndre Ayton playing like this to make me feel really good about what he's saying matching up with what he's doing. Because for the last 2 weeks, what he's been doing on the floor has matched up with his words. He's been aggressive. He's been a defensive presence. He has been an offensive presence. He has been everything the Phoenix Suns need him to be when they need it. If he can keep this up steadily, consistently, with very few nights where the effort wanes, I'll feel really good.
But that defense has been there most of the season.
Oh, the defense has been there most of the season.
He is a good defensive player.
Yes.
And he's a good offensive rebounder, and he's very active on the glass, and his defense is very, very good. What people wanted to see was they wanted to see him stop fumbling the ball and score some points when they give it. And
he's been a lot better at that the last couple
of weeks. He's delivered.
He's been a lot better.
So I do think that, look, if they play a 7-game series against somebody, do I think that he could punish a team in a game or two? Yes, I do. Do I think that he's going to be the leading scorer? No, I don't think that.
But they don't need him to be.
They don't need him to be.
They don't need him to be,
he doesn't get the amount of touches to be.
Yeah, on a team with Chris Paul and Devin Booker, that's not what they need DeAndre to be.
Right now, they don't need that.
Now, one day, when Chris Paul's not on this team, then they might need DeAndre Ayton to be that guy. Right. And hopefully this is good training for that moment one day when Chris Paul maybe retires a couple years from now and it's truly Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton's team. Then they'll need him to be that guy for that team. Then right now, that's not who they need.
No,
that's not.
I like how well he's played, and I like him talking like that, too. Like, I think he's gaining in confidence. This spin move, I don't remember seeing it that much, to be honest with you. Now, all of a sudden, every game, he's finding this. I could use this spin move because he's kind of nimble for a big man.
Oh, he's very nimble for a big man.
Yeah, and he's using
this. He needs to take advantage of that, nimble he is.
And he's using that spin move to get some easy baskets.
You do not have to be a star athlete to get your signing bonus. What you need to do is text the word bonus, B-O-N-U-S, right now, to 620-620. Listen for your name this afternoon.
You don't have to be a star,
3:35 this afternoon. At 3:35, we're going to give away $500 as long as you've texted the word bonus to 620-620, and we draw your name. Again, bonus to 620-620, Arizona Sports signing bonus. When we come back, a cornerback is certainly in play for the Cardinals at number 16 overall. It's up for debate on which one is the best cornerback for the Cardinals at number 16. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. The NFL Draft. Now the Arizona Cardinals have addressed their running back situation with the signing of James Conner today. I gotta think that's the last I to be dotted and T to be crossed before the draft, right? I mean,
8 more cornerbacks will be signed.
Yeah, I mean, they still obviously are going to sign some guys, and they still could use a veteran cornerback. And I heard the promo Wolf in which he said that everything's done now going into the draft. I still think they need a veteran cornerback. You know, I think you're asking for trouble if you're counting on Robert Alford or the guy that you might draft to be your starting cornerback opposite Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, you'd like to have one more.
I'd like to have one more.
They'll have a lot of guys, you know, like 12 to 14 guys at that position when camp starts.
Sure.
And they'll weed them out. And then maybe somebody will, but they'll sign more guys. Like, as they get closer to camp, they'll sign camp bodies and they'll sign, you know, other guys may have the opportunity to come in. But I do think that, you know, after Connor, I don't know that there's anything else on the table right now.
No, probably not. And I don't think they'll – I think they'll sign somebody of significance after the draft to be their second cornerback. It might not happen before the draft, but I don't think it'll just be a camp body. I hope it's not just a camp body situation. I'm assuming they'll sign somebody of significance at that position that they can kind of count on to be the number two cornerback. But that aside, it seems like just about everything is done, which means it's time to really, really focus on the draft. And it's 2 weeks from Thursday. Mel Kiper, he probably has 3 more mock drafts coming, but he released another one today. And with it, with the 16th pick overall, he had the Arizona Cardinals taking Caleb Farley, cornerback out of Virginia Tech. I've got his draft profile here. You want to guess on who voiced it?
I'll go Maloney.
You say Maloney?
What do you got?
I'm going to say Aaron Maloney voiced this one as well.
Caleb Farley, cornerback, Virginia Tech.
There's a lot to like about Farley, his size and his speed, first and foremost. When Farley is at his best, he's in press coverage. He has a good one-hand and two-hand jam, but is also patient enough to wait out receivers and then latch himself onto their hips. He also stays in excellent position downfield before making a play on the ball. Farley is exceptional at recognizing routes, aggressive against the run, fights his way through blockers, and is a sound tackler. While at times he gets turned around on some routes and allows receivers to cross his face, Farley has all the tools that every NFL team looks for in a cornerback. NFL comp, Ravens cornerback Jimmy Smith.
That's our new little game we're playing here on the Burns and Gambo show. When we play a draft profile, we guess, is it Sarah who voiced it? Is it Aaron Maloney who voiced it? Or was it Mitch?
Yeah, we were both wrong. Yeah.
Yeah,
you should have went with Sarah. I said, you know.
You were both right to guess Maloney because, again, mine never get played. So,
yours just got played. What Mel wrote about Caleb: Farley is my top-ranked corner, but he could be third off the board depending on his medical checks. He had back surgery last month, a microdiscectomy, and wasn't able to work out at his pro day, which means teams weren't able to see him up close after he opted out of the 2020 season. At his best, though, Farley has the highest ceiling of all the defensive backs in this class. I saw this mock, and, oh, God, did they just tie it?
Oh, Ginkle gave up a 3-run bomb.
Did the A's just tie it?
Oh, they did.
Oh, Kevin Ginkle just gave up a 3-run shot to Jed Lowry, left center field. Oh, for the love of cheese.
Great catch by the fan in left field, though, and he immediately threw the ball back.
That's not going to keep me warm at night. But it was a nice catch. Yeah, he just snagged it and said, yep, I'm going to toss it right back.
I like he held it in front of his face for
a
little bit.
Yeah, he was mocking him with it. Hey, look, see what I got? Yeah, I'm going to throw it back. 5-5 game now in the top of the seventh.
Were they up 5-0 or 5-1?
Well, 5-0 and then 5-1.
They were up 5-0.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay. So 5-5
game. Bullpen failures.
Yep.
Bullpen failures.
Oh, good. Now we have that problem to deal with for the Diamondbacks. Yay. Fun. Caleb Farley. Okay, so back to
this mock draft.
Okay,
yeah.
So I saw this name and I thought of you when I saw this mock draft.
Because I don't see them taking him.
Because you don't see him taking him.
I would never say never, but I just don't think so. I think, you know, he was a receiver. They moved him to corner. He didn't play the last year. He's had 2 back surgeries. I just don't know. I mean, he's got good talent, but I think everyone's just, you know, scared to death of him because of the injuries.
Yeah,
so I think it's a risky. I don't know if the Cardinals go risky here at 16. I'm going to say they don't draft him if he's on the board. But I mean, I wouldn't bet a house payment on it. I'm just saying that Based on my information, I don't think that they would draft him.
Mel Kiper Jr. was on Bickley and Murata last week, and he says Farley at this point has few peers when it comes to his coverage skills.
He's a great cover guy. He's a former wide receiver, former high school quarterback. Had an ACL in 2017, then the back surgery in 2019, then he had another back surgery prior to the draft. So skill-wise, Justin Fuente I talked to back in August, the head coach at Virginia Tech, and he loves the kid's talent and potential. Long, athletic, great ball skills. Had to get a little tougher. He really, had he played this year, you would have seen, would have needed to see better tackling. But I think cover wise, he has few peers.
It's interesting.
I don't want him.
You don't want him?
I don't want him.
Because of the back?
That's too risky for me. Okay. I don't want him. So if Surtain is gone and Horn is gone, and that's what I think. I think they're gone. I would rather take Vera Tucker, the offensive guard from a USC or a different position than take Farley.
Okay. In the mock, and that's just what I was going to say, Surtain was gone at 12 to the Eagles.
Gone. He'll be gone.
J.C. Horn was gone to the Cowboys at 15.
I think he's gone, too, before the Cardinals pick, okay. Even though everybody's got mock drafts with him going. I think that he'll be gone, too.
The three wide receivers, Waddle, DeVonta Smith, Ja'Marr Chase, were all gone as well. Mel had five quarterbacks gone in the top 10 picks. Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2, Mac Jones 3. He had Miami moving up to 4. Remember, Miami's moved all over the board, right? They were 3 and then 12 and then 6.
And moved again, right.
He's got him moving again to 4 and taking Kyle Pitts, 4th overall.
Wow.
Okay.
Imagine that.
And then he's got Trey Lance going 6 to the Falcons. Justin Fields going to the Patriots at 10 after they trade up in a deal with Dallas. So he's got Lawrence 1, Wilson 2, Mac Jones 3, Lance 6, Fields 10. Five quarterbacks in the top 10, all three wide receivers gone, two of the preferred cornerbacks gone. And so for the Cardinals, it would be a choice of, do you take one of the young pass rushers? Do you go with the third cornerback?
No.
Do you go offensive line?
Who's the third cornerback? I see, that's the thing. Surtain and Horn will be 1-2, I think, on their board. Surtain 1, Horn 2. I mean, is Farley 3? I don't know that. Like, that's the one thing I don't know. Is Farley 3 or is somebody have somebody else
and
better
than him? And it's Greg Newsom 3. And if it's not even Farley, let's say it's Greg Newsom. Is Greg Newsom enough to take it 16, you know?
I would probably go with they're going to take the USC guard at 16. If that scenario plays out the way you just said it,
okay.
I think there would be a lean towards getting, you know, one of the best offensive linemen in the whole draft.
Yeah, it's something the closer we get to this, I'm starting to wonder if this is how it's going to look, where those two guys are gone and the Cardinals are going to have to choose from the third cornerback who might have the highest ceiling but has all the injury concerns, or do you just address a different position?
What would you want
entirely?
Them to do? Right now, today.
I would never want them to reach for a corner just because they need a corner.
Right.
I would never want them to do that. And I hear great stuff about Elijah Vera Tucker. Great, great stuff about Elijah Vera Tucker.
Yep.
And his ability to translate.
He's definitely one of the best players in this draft. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, if I did a mock draft today, I would probably have them taking the USC guard. Because I don't think that they'll take this Farley kid. But who knows? Maybe they do. Maybe they surprise us and they say, he's too good of talent to pass up. We'll figure it out. But those ACL injury, back injury. Ooh. That's a lot.
Yeah. With it being his first game back since injury, he wasn't going to go too deep into the game anyway. That we knew. Even still, Zach Gallen looked awfully solid in his 2021 debut. We'll tell you all about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All things being equal, I don't know if you could have asked for anything better or more out of Zach Gallen today. In his major league debut, 2021 debut with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Well, we said he'd go between 75 and 85 pitches. He went 82, so they had that was their mark for him, was to go between 75 and 85. They took him out after 4 innings and 82 pitches.
I suppose if we're quibbling, we could have asked for those 82 pitches to be spread out over 5 innings versus 4. Maybe a little more efficient. There was a jam or two that he had to get out of. But by and large, you look at it and you'll take 4 innings for a guy, you know, that 3 weeks ago we were scared was going to need Tommy John surgery. 4 weeks ago we were scared was going to need Tommy John surgery. That here he is in the, whatever it is, 13th game of the season. 4 innings, 3 hits, One run earned, two walks, eight strikeouts, allowed a home run.
Wow.
Every day that ends in Y.
He had eight strikeouts.
Yeah.
He only had 12 outs. He only got 12 outs. Eight of them.
Eight of them were via the strikeout.
Were via the strikeout. That is really, really impressive. He did walk to two. Yeah, you couldn't ask for anything more. I mean, at that point, you know, listen, would you have liked him to be able to get into the fifth inning and put himself in a position to get the win? Okay, probably. You would have liked that. But the problem for the Diamondbacks now is that the bullpen has faltered. Taylor Clark came in and was terrible, and then Ginkle came in and gave up a run, and all of a sudden a 5-0 lead is now 5-5. Gallen left the game, it was 5-1. He had a comfortable lead, 5-1. He was not in line to get the win because he did not pitch the five innings. But you're not looking for a win or loss. You're looking for, how does he pitch?
Yeah.
He pitched great today.
Stephen Piscotty was the one who took him deep. That was in the fourth inning. That was the one run that he allowed. He did have a jam that he had to get out of in the third inning. Matt Chapman on a fielder's choice. He had first and second. He kind of had to deal with that, but he got Seth Brown to ground out to end that threat and took care of that. So, really, I mean, as good as you could have asked for, especially after last night's frustrating moment with Madison Bumgarner, you kind of needed some sign of hope. Hopefully the Diamondbacks can win this game so you get a split with the A's and you kind of feel that hope a little bit. But if the goal today was to establish that Zach Gallen was back and okay and pitching well, I think today gave it to you.
You know, and you look at the, I mean, he gives you the most hope because he's an ace. He could beat anybody. But Luke Weaver's pitched good in two games, and he had a great game his second outing. So that's, you feel pretty good about that. I still like Merrill Kelly. It's this Bumgarner thing is just a thorn in the side that I just don't know how it's gonna play out, or you know, when it's gonna be determined or anything like that. But I am, you know, Gallen pitching today and getting back is was such a big boost to them. It was a big boost.
Here we go. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. The Arizona Sports signing bonus.
3:35 in the afternoon, and because of technical issues during the Bickley and Murata show, Gambo, we have two names to read off here.
Not one, but two.
Not one, but two. All time right. for our two Arizona Sports signing bonus winners who have 10 minutes to call us at 602-260-9870. Brent Warren from Glendale and David Swope, S-W-O-P-E, Swope from Surprise. Brent Warren from Glendale, David Swope from Surprise.
What do they get?
You both have 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870, $500 signing bonus.
$500.
$500. Now, if you didn't hear your name, like Brent and David, you still can by texting the word bonus, B-O-N-U-S, to 620-620, and then listen for your name tomorrow, 7:35 in the morning, 1:35 in the afternoon, 3:35. But for now, Brent Warren from Glendale, David Swope from Surprise. Here's your number again, 602-260-9870, 602-260-9870.
You get a $500 signing bonus and you don't even have to work here.
No. Do we get signing bonuses? I mean, let's be honest. No. You don't have to work here and you get one. We don't, do we?
Do you get a signing bonus? Jordan definitely got one.
Oh, yeah, Jordan.
I think I'm probably the only one on the show that did.
Probably. I didn't get one. I didn't get a signing bonus, you know. But Brent and David could if they've called sometime in the next 10 minutes. All right, back to the Arizona Diamondbacks, as we mentioned, 5-5 game going into the bottom.
Yusmeiro Petit. My God, how old is Yusmeiro Petit?
Yusmeiro Petit has been around for a long, long time.
He pitched for the Diamondbacks in their inaugural season.
It's not quite true.
My God, I can't believe
it. He's had a very nice career that he's lasted this long.
Bob,
I mean,
Melvin loves him.
I've always got respect for guys who hang around as long as guys like Yusmeiro Petit does. If that stays fair, the Diamondbacks just took the lead. And I believe the Diamondbacks just took the lead.
That looked like a fair ball.
Nope, foul ball.
Oh!
Foul ball.
Oh, Nick Ahmed. I thought that looked fair, didn't
Nick
it?
He hooked one down the left field line, and I thought it looked fair, but it was not. And it said there's a runner
Yusmeiro
second.
Yusmeiro Petit pitched for the D-backs in 2007.
I believe it.
He's still pitching.
I believe it. Good for him. Good for him. I got respect for guys who can hang around that long.
Wow.
I got mad respect for guys who can hang around that long.
14 years after first pitch for the D-backs in 2007.
How old
That's
is
crazy.
He? How old is he? 30?
He is 36.
Good for him. Good for him.
Started you pitching in the major leagues when he was 14 years old.
Zach Gallen from yesterday when he met with the media after finding out he was going to get the start. Did you think he'd be back this fast?
I mean, I don't know. It was kind of tough because I felt good, you know, those first few days after the diagnosis. So it was kind of, you know, the team wanted to hold me back and just make sure we were being safe about everything. So yeah, the diagnosis was just, you know, let's just go on how you feel. The timeline was around here, you know, granted I felt, you know, nothing and felt fine. So yeah, I was just kind of chomping at the bit, you know, doing everything I can to, you know, get back out there as soon as possible with the guys.
Yeah. He made it clear that, you know, like even a few days after he got the diagnosis, he's like, guys, I'm ready to pitch. I'm fine.
Yeah.
I feel fine. I'm ready to go. Though I did notice today when he was batting, he did beat out a bunt that he dropped down perfectly and beat it out to first. I don't think he took the – other than the bunt, I don't think he swung a bat.
I think you're going to see a lot of that in baseball right now. I think the A's pitcher last night would not swing the bat.
They screwed this up.
Well, because now guys are worried about injuries.
Yeah, they're worried about injuries.
It's going to change next year. It's going to have to change. Pitchers used to come up there and take their hacks. Now everybody's afraid to take their hacks. I don't want to get hurt swinging a baseball bat, they're not swinging.
Yeah.
You got guys that aren't swinging.
Yeah, he bunted twice. He struck out on a missed bunt in his second at bat. I think you're right. That's why I think baseball They screwed it up.
Yep.
They should have just made the universal DH at the start of the season. I know not everyone's a fan of it. I know it takes sometimes it's maddening to me sometimes how long it takes baseball to get out
of
its own way.
It was never an issue before pitchers hitting.
No, it wasn't.
Why is it all of a sudden now?
Because
one or two guys got hurt?
Because they gave everybody a taste of it last year, and because everybody knows that this time next year, when there's baseball, there will be a universal DH. Everybody,
it's just amazing. Like,
they should have just done it this
the
year.
Complaints that we like we're hearing this year. But that pitcher for the A's, man, he wouldn't take he didn't. Same thing. He just put the bat on his shoulders, let Bumgarner throw all those pitches to him, and he wasn't going to swing.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish they had done it. Speaking of Gallen, he was asked about his curveball and whether he's able to throw it the way he wants.
I think I was medically cleared April 5th. I think it was. That was 2 weeks from seeing Dr. Sheridan and getting all the opinions. That was the 2 week mark. So I technically actually threw just a couple, the fourth, just to make sure, like, you know, we weren't going in 0-100 that fifth day. Just flipped a couple playing catch, and then the fifth, got on the mound, threw a bullpen. I think I threw six total, like three from the stretch, three from the windup. And then ever since, you know, the fifth, it's kind of just been a gradual buildup to, you know, now we're kind of getting close to as many as I feel like I would need to get ready for an outing.
I'll look at the final result. I don't know how many curveballs he threw today. I'm assuming he threw a few, given how he was dealing out there. But I need to look and see how many.
I don't know.
I'm not sure either.
It's amazing that, like, when you think about, like, Zach Gallen has 6 wins in his major league career. And there's so much. Like, he has 6 wins. He has 6 wins in his major league career.
Yeah.
And he's, like, the guy. Like, he's the one guy you can't do without. The untradeable guy. Because I think that they've been there and they've done that with other players. Like the Max Scherzer, right? I think that they've made their mistakes with young pitchers in the past.
Yeah.
Trevor Bauer, Max Scherzer. I think with Gallen, I don't think they're going to make that mistake. But it's amazing that a guy that has 6 major league wins, he's been in the major leagues for 3 years, he has 6 wins.
Yep.
He averages 2 wins a year in the major leagues. And we've got all this, you know, this hoping for, this is his 4th year, by the way.
He's the man, and we don't even debate it. Like, he's the guy, it's like not even a discussion, a conversation, not even open for interpretation. He's the man, and everybody knows it.
Yep.
And he's got 6 career wins to his name.
6.
That's it. And everybody knows.
Fascinated by that.
Yeah, I know. And he came out and he dominated today like everybody kind of thought that he would. But when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, he was considered by some, including one voice in particular that we trust a lot on this show, he was considered by some to be the ideal hire. One U of A coaching candidate used that leverage to land himself an extension with his current team. And now some people are starting to gripe about how the process is going down there in Tucson. We'll tell you about it next on the Burns and Gambo show. Well, you can take out, well, first of all, before we talk about the UVA basketball coaching search, the Oakland A's just took a 6-5 lead. Seth Brown off of Anthony Swarzak in the top of the 8th solo home run. A's lead 6-5.
Of a who?
Off of Anthony Swarzak.
Ugh.
Yeah, Seth Brown.
Anthony Swarzak.
Took him deep. And yeah. Second home run of the season for Seth Brown. And it's 6-5.
How about Anthony Sendback? Send him back wherever he came from.
That's good. Did you just come up with that one, or did you read that somewhere?
Yeah. Anthony Sendback.
Anthony Sendback, not Swarzak.
Any of those 47 teams he played for in his career, Seattle, Atlanta, the Mets, Milwaukee, the White Sox, the Yankees, the Indians, the Twins. Yeah, send him back to any one of those places.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks are chasing a run right now. They've only got 6 outs left to play with, so we'll keep an eye on that game and let you know how things progress in that one.
Oh,
all right,
God.
Now to the U of A coaching search.
Yes.
Boy, you could have seen this one coming a country mile away. Eric Musselman in Arkansas reportedly finalizing a new contract.
Yeah, look, in 2 years at Arkansas, he's 45-19. He had led Nevada to a crazy record. In 4 years, he won 110 games, only lost 34 at Nevada. And then this year, remember, they beat Oral Roberts. They reached the Elite Eight. I mean, he had a clause in his contract that if they got to the Sweet 16, he would automatically get another year added and a raise of $250,000. But now he's going to get more, you know, because he was a candidate for several high-profile jobs, and he wanted to stay at Arkansas. And so he signed a 5-year contract. He was in the second year. And the AD, this is interesting. The AD said, Eric's got all the leverage he needs with me because we finished second in the SEC and we were in the Sweet 16. This is right before they beat Oral Roberts to go to the Elite Eight. He doesn't need the leverage of an opening at another major program to get the agreement that he needs here at the university. He's got plenty of leverage by winning basketball games.
And yet
that was the AD right before they beat Oral Roberts.
That's all fine and well, and yet look at the timing of all of this, right? I mean, was it just yesterday? Wasn't it just yesterday that we were talking about how Bruce Pasco, the report down in Tucson was that Musselman was drawing significant interest for the job. And it was late last week that our guy, John Wilner, the San Jose Mercury News, best dialed in Pac-12 insider, wrote a big, long opinion piece in which he said, break the bank. U of A needs to hire Eric Musselman for the job, right? I mean, I appreciate what the AD said, but come on, you know how this works as well as I do, right? That's how you get a new deal like that. You go to your AD and you say, U of A's knocking on my door. U of A's interested. U of A, my name is out there for that job. If you want to keep me, this is what it's going to take. And they kept him. That's how it works.
He was making, he signed the contract. He took the job for $2.5 million annually. So he'd probably get a nice boost to three or 3.2 or something like that. So he got a little boost, and he's going to stay there. So now, you know, if he was number one on Arizona's list, it'll be interesting to see where they turn to now. Do they go back to the Gonzaga assistant or go somewhere else?
It's funny that you mention that because I'm looking at a story on 24/7 Sports right now, 247 Sports, and it's from Jason Shear. He's from Wildcat Authority. And if you're looking for like kind of context, you know how we have Chris Cartman all the time from Sun Devil Source? Jason Shear is kind of the Chris Cartman of U of A sports, right? Sarah, give me a thumbs up on that one, right?
That's a good comparison.
Kind of very dialed in insider, knows what he's talking about, good sources, things like that. Shear on Wildcat Authority said that the Wildcats might be hitting the reset button on the coaching search. Shear reports Arizona, now that Musselman is going back to Arkansas with a contract extension, Shear reports that Arizona is going back to the drawing board. And while Tommy Lloyd may still be on the Wildcats' radar, the school might just restart and contact new candidates for the position. Quote, sources indicate that Arizona will reevaluate its options on Tuesday. That could mean it will offer a candidate, but we've also heard there's a possibility the administration basically starts over and reaches out to a few others.
Well, if they're doing that, that means that they can't be satisfied with the other candidates.
Can't be. Or, so I propose an alternative theory?
Sure.
Okay, you're right. You're like half right. They're not satisfied with the candidates they've got. They don't think Damon Stoudemire is experienced enough, and they know this is going to get serious blowback from Tommy Lloyd if they give it to him because he's not a U of A guy, right? And so they need to find somebody that starts. Remember the blowback when June Jones, we thought he was going to be the head coach of ASU football? It's almost like they're sensing they're going to get some blowback from Tommy Lloyd and they might need to reopen it a little bit.
I'd offer Steve Kerr. Yeah. I would just offer him.
Sorry, he said he's not going to take it.
I know, I would offer him anyway.
Yeah. Just, here's the money. Do
Steve,
you want it?
10-year contract. Here you go.
Lifetime contract. And the only reason I say that about Tommy Lloyd, did you see the A.J. Bramlett quotes?
No.
Okay.
This is great.
A.J. Bramlett. His tweets came in response to a report from playersprogramu.com that Tommy Lloyd, Gonzaga assistant, had agreed to become the coach at Arizona. Okay, which were erroneous reports because he hasn't agreed to it yet.
Yes,
but
that's
that
not
was
a good source.
That was out there for a while, right? Quote, "This can't be true. The damage done from this kind of decision without feedback from the alumni will kill the support from all of us. One of the most valuable assets we have is our history, and it needs to be the first thing considered." Close quote. He went on to say, in response to another tweet by Players Program U, that the damage has already been done by the U of A administration on how they parted ways with Miller, Bramlett replied, "That doesn't have anything to do with who the next coach is, and getting feedback from one of the strongest, if not the strongest group of alumni in college basketball," close quote.
I like it.
You do?
I mean, I like him saying, you know, come to us for feedback. Go to Channing Frye. Go to, you know, Richard Jefferson. Go to all these. You get their feedback. Get their input.
Okay,
you know?
But you can't let them dictate
can't
it.
Can't let them dictate it. No.
You can't. No. This is a multi-million, millions and millions and millions of dollars kind of decision. You can't. I mean, nothing against former U of A players. I don't think you can allow them. Let them have a seat at the table, but the loudest voice in the room.
No, not the loudest voice in the room, but that's your alumni. I mean, those guys helped make U of A basketball what it is. So it's not like you're going to the current players and saying, who do you want to coach you? You're going to guys who, a lot of these guys played in the NBA or played overseas, and you know they know the game very well, and they know the coaches very well, and they might have some good input for you.
Sarah?
Doesn't it seem predictable, though, that of course Arizona alumni are going to want an Arizona alum.
Yes.
Like, of course they're going to go to bat for Damon or whoever they used to play with. That doesn't necessarily make him the best option.
No, ASU for years wanted, I mean, we used to hear Danny White all the time.
Oh, sure.
Every time a coaching vacancy came up, hire Danny White. Got to hire Danny White.
Used to drive
Has
me
to
crazy.
Be Danny White.
Didn't it used to drive you crazy?
All the time.
Oh, my God. When I was hosting,
all
you were
the
hosting
time.
Shows back then. I was hosting shows back then. I'm like, come on.
That was it.
Danny White's not getting a job, people.
He was the coach of the Rattlers. And there was something about he wasn't, I think somebody at ASU told me he like wasn't even eligible. Something, do you need a degree to coach or?
That might have been.
I don't know if he got his degree.
I don't know.
But anyway, I mean, they wanted him. They wanted Danny White over anybody.
Yeah.
You could have said, hey, Coach Bear Bryant's in his prime. Nope, we want Danny White.
Nah.
They didn't. They wanted Danny White.
Yeah.
They loved him.
It doesn't seem like the right way to go.
No, I agree. I mean, look, that's a factor. You know, a former U of A guy. Yeah, of course. I mean, consider that. Absolutely. But to make that the defining part of the search, no. That's a mistake. That's a mistake. Let them have input. Let them have a say. But you cannot be bullied into hiring a guy who's got U of A Wildcat blood in him, if that's the description you want to use.
You got a guess on who they're going to hire right now?
I mean,
even a guess?
Well, now that they're going back to the drawing board,
yeah,
not really.
No, I really don't either.
And we don't have a list of the drawing board either, right?
No, we don't even know what new names are there.
Yeah. I was just waiting on the Tommy Lloyd statement or press conference to happen. I was just waiting.
Yeah, doesn't seem like it's going to be happening.
Really sure.
After another rough outing for Madison Bumgarner last night, it has us wondering, how much longer can they continue to give him a chance to turn things around? How many starts? We'll try to answer that question next on the Burns and Gambo Show.